This hour of the Overdrive podcast with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog is brought to you by the Hager Hockey Hall of Fame Legends Classic on November 11th. You can become the bench boss behind Team Belfour and Team Fuhr. Enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win.
Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
This is the ceremonial music because we talked about him being jacked, and maybe he's got the Rolodex out.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I feel like this weekend, our show has helped me reach the ultimate level of fame.
Oh, yeah?
A gentleman came up to me at a restaurant, and he said, "I know who you are." I said, "Oh, yeah?" He goes, "Yeah, you work at Canada Post." "You do the mail in my hood, don't you?" I said, "What?" I go, "Are you actually kidding me?" He goes, "No, you're the guy from Canada Post, right?
You're a postie, right? You're a postie."
I just started laughing. I said, "Sir."
Newman.
I go, "I'm not, no offense to mailmen, or I don't even know what he, but I'm not that guy."
He's Newman.
Yeah, that one's tough.
"You're the guy from Canada Post." And like dead straight face. I'm like, "Sir, I'm not."
Would you ever say hi to your postman?
I do.
We've had these conversations before. You have, you openly
have...
My
new postman's name is Paul.
So you know everything about Paul.
I introduced myself to him, and these guys are carrying your mail.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not important parts of society.
Very important.
Dude, I lived in condos for the last 5 years. I don't even know who these people are.
Right. I've got one of those, community mailboxes where you bring a key and you go...
Yeah,
and
so do I.
So how would you know who your...
I saw him there, and I went down and introduced myself.
I don't need to see the guy.
Me neither.
He was sliding things in the slot. It's about a half a block away. I ran down and introduced myself. I said, "Yeah, I'm, box number this. And, anything, let me know if anything's up." And, we had a chat.
What could possibly be up? You're hoping he tips you off if...
If you're in a community box, a lot of times, if there's something delivered, a package and that, you don't get... I always have found, if you can have trouble with your mail if the guy actually can go... He's not going to go out of his way to make life difficult, but if you're a jackass
to him,
he's
going to... What are you looking for? The white... What is that white...
The anthrax?
Yeah. Are you looking for an anthrax heads up?
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards here. Are you concerned that you're going to be the victim of an anthrax
attack? No, not at all.
What does he care? He'll have a video camera on the mailbox anytime
soon.
Yeah,
you'll find out who it is anyway.
I got to get into your guys' Friday chat, apparently, the swimming. People were sending me notes and that. We'll have to circle back on that.
I don't remember how that came up.
I think it was with little Jonas.
No, Jonas wasn't here on Friday.
He was in on Wednesday. It was Friday, apparently...
I don't remember how it came up.
You guys may have said, Noodles should just jump in the pool. You guys were going to throw me in a lake or something.
We didn't say anything like that. I honestly don't remember what the context was or why we came across.
We were talking about swimming and stuff, and Brian mentioned to me, he's like, "You know that Noodles can't swim." And I said, "There's no way."
I don't swim, but I know what happened.
Like, you go on your vacations with buddies, you rent a house, there's a pool. And Strutty at 3 in the morning throws you in the pool. Are you is it game over, or can you get out?
No, I could get out. I could figure my way out.
I don't think so, dude.
Well, if I fall through a cavern of ice.
No, meaning that seriously. I had a conversation with a painting friend of mine recently.
Yes.
Because we're all men of the community.
Yes, yes.
And he actually made a great point. I remember why we brought this up, because I went to a swim class on Friday with my daughter.
That's right.
And he said, because she's very comfortable in the pool, but he said something that I think is very important to remember. He said, "Make sure you respect the water," and how did he phrase it? Something along the lines of, "Don't be too comfortable around the water."
Right, because it could sneak up on you.
Absolutely.
Beers on the pier, water on the water.
Right, there you go.
Respect the water.
Yeah, I do, but I agree.
Respect the water. That's
I know
what
how
it
to
was.
Swim. I just don't like doing it. Put it that way. I've got to actually.
See, you're totally wrong. You're fake news.
He doesn't
know how to swim, dude.
Oh, he lies.
I don't. Well, I mean,
all right. It doesn't matter anyway.
I could figure it out, but I've got a quick scenario, a story that happened to me, and I need you guys to weigh in to see if this has ever happened to you, from a familiarity standpoint. You were just talking about the postman. So Saturday night, I'm in Montreal. I call the Ottawa-Montreal game. Pretty good game. We have a good broadcaster with Brian Mudrick
Shout out to Muddy, the new voice of the Habs.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's great. So we have a lot of fun on the broadcast. It's actually a pretty good game considering where, you know, the teams are at right now and stuff. And so your production truck is down underneath. You know, like I'm sure you guys have heard of the production truck.
Yeah.
In the truck.
When you're calling games, there's a truck outside.
There's a truck outside that you know, controls everything. So it's usually from like Dome Productions. So Muddy and I are like, it's Saturday at 10 o'clock. We're going to go to the keg and have a beer. Our producer, Sam Cicerello, is down in the truck. So I'm like, okay, we'll come down to the van. We'll grab you and we'll go. We go downstairs and I don't know if you guys have ever had a case of mistaken identity. I go bombing into the truck. Hey, and we're loud. We're screaming. Great broadcast, everyone. Like Ron Burgundy pointing at people. Way to work.
Outstanding evening.
There's a guy sitting in the producer's chair. Now, Sam Cicerello has a distinct look. He's bald and he wears like the Drew Carey glasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So facing me is a bald guy with glasses I can see. I go bombing up. I'm yelling and screaming, way to work, everyone in the van, high five. And like, I grab the guy by the shoulders. It's a bald guy with glasses. He turns and looks at me. I'm like, you're not Sam.
You're in the wrong truck.
We're in the wrong truck. It's the RDS truck that is live on TV. They're live because they're doing the post-game show.
No way.
So all French.
Tell me the guy didn't speak English either.
I don't know. He just looked at me like basically like, who the hell, like what is going on?
Imagine if he like slapped him on the side of the head and said, Sammy boy, let's get to town.
And he turned around and I was like, you're not Sam. And I looked and I locked eyes with this lady who must have been the director. And she was like, you're an idiot. Like basically get the hell out of here. Because I'm sure our voices were carrying on to their broadcast because we were kind of yelling and screaming, hey, way to work, everyone.
Assuming everyone had done their shift work and it was over by that
right.
point.
So, I mean, mistaken identity, it happens. Sometimes you wave at somebody and you're like, that's not the person. Like, that right. happened. But I've never
this
had
one,
that.
Though, that's on you, though. You went into the wrong truck.
Went into the wrong truck. But what would be the odds that the producer is a doppelganger for the exact... That's the problem I had.
Yeah, that is kind
of
strange.
I'm looking at the back of a bald person with glasses, and it's, you know, the same type of dynamic, same body type,
right.
everything. And I grab him, you know, kind of by the shoulder, spin him around, and it's the wrong person.
You did the spin around?
Well, I didn't spin around. He kind of gave the shoulder check and was like, take a lap, pigeon.
Think about the eyes the three of us would give some guy if they did that to us.
Yes.
I mean, we can be ornery at the best of times.
Yeah, like somebody wheels in our little remote truck down at the ACC and slaps one of us in the head.
He would be a full-blown dust-up.
No, one of us would punch him in the face.
Someone would literally start throwing bombs. You're lucky the guy didn't get up and cold cock you.
But it would be... Where the mistake was is if you had somebody that looked exactly like you.
I understand that, but you can't blame that guy's appearance for your screw-up. Like, if he got up and clocked you, you couldn't be like, hey, I thought you were Sam.
No,
let me show
I
you a picture of Sam. You'd be like, yeah, you kind of got me. I made the mistake here.
It was an honest mistake because there was apparently, there was two Dome trucks there. We
right.
just went into the wrong one. But the fact that there was an exact... body double,
like
stunt
a replica,
double for Sam.
Basically.
Yeah,
a replica.
And a lot
French
of times,
producer.
But a lot of times on the road, you don't know a lot of people in the truck because they're local people.
Right.
So
Each town supplies.
I went in and locked eyes with people. I'm like, hey, way to work tonight, everyone. Great job.
Yeah, that's a tough.
Sammy,
one.
Great stuff. Turned around, wrong guy.
That's a tough way to kick off your evening in Montreal, I would think. And
well,
the Habs
hopefully.
Are in town tonight. We're going to get to the Kawhi Leonard stuff. Tiger, NFL was crazy this weekend. There's a million things to hit
yes.
on this afternoon. But the lineups for the Leaf game tonight are, this should be half price night at the ACC. This should be, if you show up and you're willing to actually
It's kind of like fitness testing reward night, where it's like,
it's all American
all
Hockey League
It's
players.
The last yeah, chance for somebody to say, hey, you deserve a game.
Throw a bone. It's the bone. Yeah, throw a bone night.
And good fitness testing. There you go.
Now,
you're a warrior. There you go.
You're right. It stinks, but if you're a fan that's looking to see the actual...
Well, if you actually
paid
money.
We talked about this last week. You were talking about the quality of the exhibition games. If you're going down there for the first time today,
well,
you're like, what?
What game did I call on Friday? Chicago, wasn't it?
Well, Chicago's lineup. Duthie tweeted
Chicago, Ottawa
I called
Friday
that game
night.
In Ottawa. Chicago, Ottawa. the highest scoring player that was on the Chicago Blackhawks team was their 16th highest scorer. His name was Hader. So, like,
but they still won the game.
They did.
It doesn't matter, but still. Like, Ottawa can't even win that game against a pathetic lineup at home.
They didn't dress much either, but it was still one of those where you're like, oh, it's going to be hardworking. And it's funny because Ottawa started the game against that lineup. They were out shooting them 12-0 11 minutes into the game. And I was like, oh, on the broadcast, I was like, this is going to get ugly. Like, Chicago couldn't get out of their own zone. And then there was a goaltender change halfway through the game, and Ottawa couldn't get out of their own. It was a disaster of a game, but that's why I think the next week of
well, we're into the next
games,
week. This is the next week.
Well, like this week of exhibition games are going to be a lot better because you're going to get regular lineups, but these past ones have stunk. I think a lot of them, the quality hasn't been great. The lineups, I think teams are just trying to save players, which they should because you don't want anybody to get injured. But I don't think the quality of play has been amazing. A couple of games I've watched. I've watched a lot.
It hasn't been great, but it's preseason, so it doesn't really matter. As long as you're healthy and you're in camp, exactly. It's all good. And we'll talk about the Leafs later in the afternoon. And Babcock, his comments today on the top power play unit, he wasn't happy about the line of questioning.
Yeah.
But down at the Scotiabank Arena, it was the Raptors' opportunity to show up and introduce themselves back into the market. And all things considered, I think it went off as well as it could have gone off, which is strange to say considering the optimism for the season. You know, this is a really good team. LeBron's in the West. Once we start playing, everything should be great for the Raptors this year.
Yeah.
If you're fans, this is the most anticipated season in a long time. It's not that much different than the Maple Leafs. It's really not. The Leafs have been around longer. They have more history. They have a bigger fan base in terms of just mass. But I think in terms of anticipation, expectations, turnover, intrigue, a new superstar in town, the two teams are actually very closely linked together when it comes to the storyline leading into a new season. But Kawhi was there today. Which feels like a win, as strange as that sounds.
Why were people concerned that he was just not going to come out of the room, like this guy's gone?
I was 99% sure he was going to show up, but I've never been in a position outside of a guy who's openly asked for a trade,
like
the Eric Carlson stuff, Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. I've never been in a scenario where a guy's locked into a contract and it's his first day to report, and there's a 1% chance, you know, something happens and he decides not to show up.
Yeah.
But he was there, which is a good start. And we said this off the air. He's Phil.
Yeah,
that's what he is. He's Phil Kessel.
Yeah, don't go looking for this guy for some earth-shattering interview because you're not getting it.
No, he's awkward. He doesn't want to talk with people.
I think he's Phil on so many levels, which is going to excite us because he's going to give us clips.
But well, I think as far as the fan base goes, Brian, I mean, you see the picture. It was blasted everywhere. Kawhi's a Raptor. And just the look on his face, people are going to look at that and say, and I know he's not like this emotional guy. He's not this big personality, but he doesn't look happy.
But that,
so the fan base is going to say, look at this guy. He just wants this year to be over with. He's going to get it over with, and he's going to move on.
Well, let me.
And it's hard. I thought that. Did you not think that when you look at the picture? You're like, I know they want those pictures to be like, oh, make this angry face because the camera guy's like, act like you're like mean and you
act like a Raptor. It's like a Zoolander.
I don't know, but they make you do these stupid things in these photo shoots. But I looked at it and I'm like, and I kind of always look at guys, their body language. Yeah. I was like, doesn't look happy.
I know, but here's what I'll say. I think he isn't happy having to do these types of things. I think his happy place is on the court.
Standard protocol.
I understand that. We
had to do it every year.
I know, but I'll give you an example. I played with Mika Kiprusoff. Hated talking to the media. The last day of the season on locker cleanout, he thought it was funny to go out the back door on the reporters all the time. He just didn't like talking to people. But you know what he was good at? Playing hockey. Kawhi Leonard, all he has to do is play basketball. And you've got 1 year for this guy. Let's not forget, he's going to play on a very good team where LeBron's not around.
Mm-hmm.
If the Raptors have success, That's all they care about. They don't care if this guy is smiling and kissing babies and that. All they want him to do is show up and do his job.
Well, absolutely. And the truth is, even if he is leaving by the end of the year, make the most out of it this year. If they get all the way to an NBA Finals, which they've never done before, it's right. the greatest season in franchise history. So even if he walks, who cares? Look what preceded him walking. He right. got the team to an NBA Final. And I've adjusted the way I felt about that picture you referenced because I finally heard him speak. I think he would have that picture on his wedding day if he was in Vegas with his boys. Yeah. I think that is the Kawhi face 24/7, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year. This is who he is.
He's an introvert.
He's an introverted guy. He's not interested in showing you anything. I thought what was more awkward was Danny Green was up there as a prop to play filter when it got awkward with Kawhi. And also, we had Danny Green in studio a few weeks
ago.
He's
awesome.
Awesome interview. He's going to be a fun guy all year. What was cringeworthy about it wasn't the Kawhi laugh. And we're going
to
play it.
Yeah, we have to get into it.
The Kawhi answers. It was Danny Green when asked about how he feels about Kawhi and what he can tell people about Kawhi. And he looks at everyone and goes, "He's a fun guy." There's no way he's a fun guy. Well, like, he doesn't come off as a fun guy. I don't believe he's really this raw, let's go party and have a great time cracking jokes. But Danny Green's going to, you know, speak on his behalf. It's maybe going to be the first time in sports history an English-speaking athlete will have an English interpreter. And it's going to be true. Danny Green.
Dude,
for Kawhi.
By the way, that pisses me off so much, these guys in baseball with the interpreters. They're on the bench with their buddies, and they're talking the whole game. After the game, I need an interpreter.
Well, get ready
for
tomorrow.
That drives me nuts.
Wait until Roberto Osuna, who's not going to speak with the media today.
Right.
Houston's in town. He's in court tomorrow. We believe he's going to speak with the media tomorrow.
Through an interpreter slash lawyer.
Wait until you see that routine. Exactly. There will be a lawyer, an interpreter. There will be, sorry, don't understand. That kind of stuff's coming, I think.
You know, that... But, that story is going to get sorted out. But with the Kawhi stuff, how many guys, I'm trying to think of on your roster of who you played with in your career, guys who were awkward in the media, but behind closed doors, very funny. Like for me, early on, it was Roberto Luongo, and then his Twitter account, and like his private persona was a lot different than his public persona. And then as he... I don't want to say that, like grew older, matured, or something
more
changed.
Comfortable. It became more comfortable.
And it became very, his private persona became public. I like Kiprasov was one that I could speak to that was locked down, would not give you anything, but behind the scenes, hilarious. And one of the boys. I don't know if Kawhi's like that. Danny Green's trying to sell us
right.
that.
And it doesn't really matter as long as he performs. I mean, the truth is about Danny Green and all this, too. Green knows what happened in San Antonio last year.
Right.
Like, I was thinking about that today. Like, is there a chance last year Danny Green was in those meetings carving up this guy?
This guy.
Be like, where is he? Why isn't he playing? And now he's up here and he's got to put on a different persona. I'm not sure we're ever going to know. But I think all things considered, you know, Kyle Lowry, I thought, handled his presser very well. He was all business, but he wasn't sour. He wasn't pouting. You know, he's close with DeMar.
Yeah.
He's all business. He's ready to play. He's going to be a pro. He's going to embrace this season with Kawhi.
Yeah.
I think Lowry handled his presser really well. I think Masai said all the right things for the most part. And now that we're through this, it's like, all right, let's get to the real stuff. You know, let's start playing games and let's see if they can meet the highest expectations the franchise has ever had.
I think he just
Which is exciting if you're a fan.
But it's not like they have 59 wins last year. Like, it's not like, do they have to have 60 to have success?
No, regular season doesn't mean anything.
You're right.
It means
But that's what
nothing.
I'm saying. Like, if they take a step back and get 51 wins.
That won't matter. I think as long as they get off to a pretty good start, everybody's healthy. I mean, you got a new head coach, too, right? Nick Nurse has never been a head coach in the NBA. There are so many different storylines around this Raptors team. And I think this was going to be cringeworthy at times. It was going to feel awkward.
Right.
It's an introduction for multiple parties. Now that it's over with and they're on the plane, they're going to Vancouver and training camp is going to start, I think once the dust settles, people are just going to be excited. And their anxiety about what's going to happen with Kawhi will disappear for a while because there's nothing you can do until the end of the season. There's nothing you can do until next offseason when he makes a decision. We know the Raptors are going to put forth a great offer. They're going to pay him the max. It's whether or not he wants to take it.
I don't really care what he does after this season. If he goes out and dominates and plays like everyone talks about him, a top five player in the league, last time I checked, that's pretty good.
That'll be a blast to
watch.
I think
that's what people are just want out of
him. Just give me that for a year. If that's all you're going to give me, like Josh Donaldson, you gave me 3 years, 4 years, whatever. You won an MVP. You were unreal. You're gone now. But thanks for what you gave. Like that's
give us one great year. Be committed, be healthy, and lock in and load up. And if he does that, and he said he's going to, and he sounded like he's prepared to do that, that's all you can ask for. He's a player, and if he's a free agent, just like Tavares, he's allowed to leave.
The scary part would be is if he wants out at the deadline. That could really mess with, like, and again, what
I can't picture that. I mean, because unless the Raptors, something catastrophic happens.
Right.
But we'll
he just has to play. He has to play because he hasn't played much, right?
He's got to prove himself. He's got to prove himself. Tiger Woods did that yesterday. Not that he had to prove his greatness. I mean, the greatness of Tiger Woods had been determined quite some time ago. But that was a wild scene at the Tour Championship. We're going to catch up with Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel, get his take on what went down yesterday.
I never thought I'd see it again. I thought it was over.
It was a great, great afternoon. You and I, we got to talk about our gambling. We're out of the Survivor Pool.
Yeah,
the Bills. Hang on a second here. I told you in the Survivor Pool, you don't go with the automatic slam dunk.
I tried reminding you guys, too.
With a tier below.
I tried reminding you on
Thursday.
Why didn't
we pick Kansas City? Why?
Because you were bullish.
Why?
Both of you were
bullish. This is the lock of the century.
Dude, they were 17-point favorites. That is the biggest upset in terms of Vegas, maybe in NFL history.
But that's why you stay clear of that.
Well, it's easy to say it now. If the Vikings showed a pulse yesterday, they were pathetic. If they showed a pulse yesterday, they cruised to a big
win. All I know is my first time ever doing a pool, and you were my sidekick. All the ideas you had, where did they turn out?
I had the Rams week two. You were on the, you were on the Vikings yesterday, dude.
No.
Yesterday,
what Kansas City's been doing, I was on KC yesterday.
You guys,
that's what I wanted.
You guys Patrick told Mahomes me both super of fan
you.
Now.
Both of you told me it was the lock of the century.
2,200 people in this pool, 200 left, and me and you are out.
Do you know how much money you could have made if you put forth a money line parlay, Bills, Browns, Lions?
And Lions.
I don't know if that's ever happened. Those three teams have all been around for like 60 years. I'm not convinced they've ever all won in the same week.
It's crazy.
And all three of them won. It was a wild weekend in sports. Ray is back in his usual spot. Ray Ferraro coming up at 5:05. Marcellus Wiley to break down what went down yesterday in the NFL. Tee up a big Monday nighter tonight. The Steelers at Tampa. They got to win.
Yeah.
And our boy Rod Black coming up. He was down at Media Day for the Raptors. But Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel to explain what we witnessed over the weekend. Tiger Woods, win number 80 on the
tour.
How
about the people coming down the fairway?
It was awesome.
It was like Arnie's Army back in the day.
Awesome, awesome scene. It was like a scene out of Rocky. Like he's running in the streets and people are just chasing him.
It was the greatest.
We'll get to that next. All right, Ray's back officially today at 5:05. He's in town, too. He's calling the Leaf game tonight. I believe he's calling that game, right? It's on TSN 4 tonight.
It better be, because this guy's sitting beside us.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And it's on
TSN
Radio.
Tell people about the guinea pig.
Well, I should probably do some digging to make sure that this is not fake news,
I just
saw it pop up on Instagram.
This little bastard guinea pig, he snuck into the wrong cage.
No, this was the right cage for this
guinea
pig.
Oh, it was on purpose.
No. For him, it was on purpose. There's a guinea pig. I guess I don't even know where this story came from.
I know what he did at the screening station. He did the Buffalo Bill, and he was like, I'm going in this cage.
He found a way to break in. A male guinea pig broke into an all-female guinea pig enclosure.
We got to get this guy on.
Book the guinea pig, because this cat apparently is setting records.
Going to work.
400 kids. 400 is the offspring that is being reported in terms of this guinea pig who broke into
the
all-female.
He is the horniest little guinea pig ever.
What's the name of the player that had the vasectomy that He's got like 14 kids.
I always forget the guy's name.
Cromartie.
Yeah. Antonio
Just
Cromartie.
Just super sperm. Goes through anything.
This, if this guinea pig's name isn't named Cromartie going forward.
Crow dog.
It's that. Exactly. Crow pig. The crow pig.
In a way.
It's a massive injustice. All right. Yesterday's scene, there was so much going on over the weekend, but Tiger Woods finally
wins. I wish we could do a show like on a Sunday afternoon sometimes where you're like, it's all happening. You're just
couching on Sundays, the podcast, flipping around to every different thing that was going on. And Rich Lerner from the Golf Channel, nice enough to join us, give us his breakdown of what took place over the weekend. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. The Golf Insider is brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. The scene at the Tour Championship was very cool. Tiger Woods winning for the first time in 5 years. He's had how many back surgeries? 4 back surgeries. It's been 5 years, 1,876 days. He finally gets to 80 wins on the tour. And we caught up with Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel a little bit earlier this afternoon. And the scene on 18 was like out of a movie.
It's crazy.
Like it was like out of Rocky or Rudy.
It was amazing, though.
Incredible to watch. And this is a guy who's offered up so many great moments on the course. And we began by asking Rich how that scene on 18 matches up all time in terms of Tiger Woods moments.
It's right up there. I mean, he's had greater performances, 97 Masters, 2000 U.S. Open. But it's possible he's never had a greater, more meaningful, more poignant moment than what he had yesterday. I mean, it was fans on the field ripping down the goalposts. It was raw emotion. It was a scene you do not witness in the sport of golf. You just don't. And it's only Tiger. Only Tiger can generate it.
You tweeted out that you were going to have your essay about, I mean, I love your essays when it comes to the majors, and they're so important to the broadcast. They're fantastic. What was the basic message about this one regarding Tiger Woods?
Essentially, it was that not long ago, May of last year, when he had the DUI, we saw that video of just a broken man, where we were on the cusp of assessing Tiger's career with the opening line that would basically say, what a shame. That's how it was going to start. Hey, how about Tiger Woods? What a shame. And then maybe we'd get into all the great things he had done. But that's kind of the way it was going to end, that his career would finish in ruins. And to climb back, to have done the hard work, you give him all the credit in the world. I think that day was a wake-up call. It was his bottom. He went and courageously asked for help, not an easy thing to do. And I think that's the sort of under-reported discussed part of this comeback. Yes, it was a comeback from back issues. 4 surgeries is not easy. But the comeback from the shame, humiliation of the scandal and what happened last year, that requires an awful lot of work. He doesn't want to talk about it, and that's his right. It's a private matter. But he did the hard work. He put a mirror up to his life, and he's come out the other end with this sense of gratitude for being able to play the game, forget about win, for having the opportunity, and for having recovered this gift. One thing we always knew about Tiger, and we didn't know a lot, was that he had a gift for a hard game. And to squander a gift that precious is a tragedy. And he was on his way to being a tragic figure. And that's why he's much more relatable now. Because if you've had an issue in your life, if you've ever been a mess, I have. If you've ever had to ask for help, I have. You know that isn't an easy. It is not easy, and so that's why Tiger, at last, always the superhuman athlete. That's why at last he's relatable, is because there's this humility. He always had competitive arrogance, which you need to be as great as he was. He has Michael Jordan's competitive arrogance. But now he has some humility, humility that comes with having been knocked on your ass. And he got up. And he there's a sort of a maturity now to his overall presentation and to his game. He's not swinging as violently. He understands now that if I swing a little more smoothly, if I hit more fairways, I have a chance to put iron in my hand, and nobody's a better iron player than me. Then he's going to win a lot of tournaments. So now, you know, we can, you know, as we get into early part of next year, we can begin to talk about some of those records. Sneed certainly is you give him a great chance to get to 83 and beyond. But Nicklaus is another matter. We talked to Jack last night. Jack says he still thinks Tiger has a chance, figures he'll play another 40 majors or so into his early 50s. And you don't put it past Tiger. I still think it's a long shot. It's, but that raises the point. How will the current crop of players respond to this Tiger? They did not respond well at all. And that was the other story this past weekend.
With Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel, and that's what I was hoping to get to with you, Rich, that for years we were wondering, how will these young, cocky players play if they're actually paired up against vintage Tiger Woods? And we saw vintage Tiger for 72 holes this weekend. And Rory McIlroy, he's right there with Johnson and Spieth and these young stud players who have won titles and we know they can perform, finally gets paired up with Tiger on a Sunday, and he melted down. He shoots a 74. How much of that was the Tiger effect, in your opinion?
Hard to know. I mean, you'd have to say it factored. I think it's the crowds, it's the size of it all, the noise of it all, the movement from green to tee when Tiger finishes. There's a force field that you're. I just don't think even players of McIlroy's caliber are used to. So I think you'd have to say it has an effect. I mean, he was just sort of lifeless. He looked almost like a little boy in with a grown man. And I'm talking about a guy who's won four majors, who's really capable. And he missed a golden opportunity. You know, he was three back. You're playing with Tiger. The whole world's focused on Tiger. That's where, if you're one of the greats of the game, you go out and you do it, you know, Denzel Washington in Training Day. You say, I'm the man up in this piece. And you shoot 64. And you take it to Tiger. And he didn't do it. And so now, you know, we're all left to wonder until we get to the Masters next year. What is that? What is that effect on these players? And next year is not only a big year for Tiger, because he's running out of time in terms of the majors. We've never had a player 43 or older win multiple majors, but he's playing three venues where he's won majors: Augusta, obviously, Bethpage Black, and Pebble Beach. It is also a very big year for McIlroy, Spieth, Dustin, etc.
As far as this game goes, Rich, do you think the one shot that was symbolizes like Tiger's back was on the Saturday? He hit it long. He had a flop shot that he kind of chunked, and then he had an incredibly difficult up and down, and he hit this bullet into the bank, and it went right next to the pin. He made par, where the Tiger 2 or 3 years ago, he might have made an eight there. Who knows what he would have done? That seemed like a defining shot.
That was, and Brandel did a big breakdown how difficult it is to come back from. If you want to call it the chipping yips, whatever it was, I know some teachers don't subscribe to that theory, but his chipping difficulties, that was the one that said his touch is back. I think most importantly and ominously for Spieth and McIlroy and company is the fact that his driver looks really good. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to kill the ball anymore. He understands that in his 40s, he can be a different and still effective player. Hit fairways, man. I talked to McIlroy about this off the golf course up in Philadelphia. You know, Tiger as long as you. And he says, no, I got him by 15, 20 most times. And Rory said, basically, I tell Tiger, stop trying to hit it with me. You don't need to. You have too many other facets of the game. I mean, he's a superior iron player to what Rory is. I mean, that's where Rory needs to improve. He drove the ball crappy yesterday. But bottom line is, if Tiger's 305 playing from the short grass, you know, it's kind of game over, as good as he is with his irons. And that's what he, you know, Gary Koch pointed out on Saturday. Do you see that rehearsal swing Tiger makes where he just sort of drops the club over his shoulders, like a long, languid kind of a rehearsal swing? Tiger is now focused more on rhythm than he is on positions with the golf swing. And he's coaching himself. That's the other big thing. He doesn't have a coach. So he's trusting himself. It's just been like a remarkable process where he's done all of the work emotionally, personally, psychologically, and with respect to his golf swing, and now we're seeing the results. It's more of like a grown up Tiger. It's like an age appropriate Tiger. Even the fist pumps aren't as intense. They're good. You know, he gave us one at Belle Reve, but it's an older, wiser Tiger who's been through a lot, and that. That's potentially a really, really good Tiger in terms of competition.
It was awesome all weekend. We can't wait to see all the coverage on the Golf Channel leading up to the Ryder Cup. We got to fly, but really appreciate you doing this for us. Thank you, Rich.
Anytime, guys. Enjoyed it. Take care.
There's Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel. Ryder Cup this weekend in Paris. Tiger probably having a great time on the flight over there last night.
My buddy's such an idiot. His girlfriend's in fashion. And she booked a trip to Paris to do some work for the fall. And she asked him to come. He's like, no interest in Paris. I said, do you not know you could have gone to the Ryder Cup while your girlfriend's working? He said, what? He missed the Ryder Cup.
In Paris.
Yes. But you would never know. Like, if you didn't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're not like a diehard golf fan.
But he said to me, he goes, I have no reason to basically go to Paris. I'm like, yeah, you do.
Well, you know what he's thinking.
Stay back home and
guys weekend at home. She's in Paris. Finally sleep in. Finally have a couple of cocktails.
We got bucket lists. One of mine is a Ryder Cup in Europe.
Oh yeah?
Because in the States, if for some reason in Europe, the atmosphere is just, I don't know what it is.
I think they're way more drunk. I think they're way more animated. They hate Americans. There's something about it. You're right. It's a different type of vibe.
Again, yeah, it's like their Super Bowl. It's
yeah, they love it. It's going to be a cool tournament. Thank you to Rich Lerner for joining us. Ray Ferraro coming up in about 20 minutes. The Leafs are in action tonight at home at Scotiabank, taking on the Habs. Not much of a lineup, really, for either team.
Yeah, a little thinner. A
little bit thin this evening. And Marcellus Wiley on one of the more unpredictable Sundays in NFL history.
The Bills.
The Bills basically won. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow your lawn Monday.
What is love? All right, we all know it's a wild weekend. Lots of potential suitors for Mow Your Lawn Monday. I know who I've got locked in.
Who do you got?
This one's simple. The Bills shocked the world yesterday. They would have flown back from Minnesota, landed in Buffalo probably around 7 o'clock, and Josh Allen would have gone right to the Anchor Bar and put on the biggest clinic in the history of Buffalo,
ever.
New York.
There's somewhere better to go than the Anchor Bar.
Where's there a better spot in Buffalo?
I don't know.
I don't know. 10 days there, and I haven't found it.
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
There's a nice hotel, restaurant, slash bar.
All right, maybe he's down there.
Yeah, but I like there's. I don't mind the Anchor
Bar. I love the Anchor Bar. I mean, it'll be gritty guys, and they just want, you know, pictures and autographs and stuff. But he went off yesterday. 15 for 22. He threw for a touchdown. He ran for two.
He jumped over somebody. It was awesome.
Leap over.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Josh Rosen, he got in for the Cardinals. So Baker Mayfield, officially the starter in Cleveland. Sam Darnold, we know, is the starter in New York. Josh Allen starting for Buffalo. I think Rosen's going to start now going forward for Arizona. So the four starting quarterbacks who all went in the top 10, it took 3 weeks for all of the teams to be like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, just push him in.
Get him out there. Josh Allen, Buffalo, shout out.
I'm going to go with Tiger.
In Paris or Atlanta?
Oh.
Anywhere. Perkins, like, did he
just
drive
pull
right?
his pants down and buckhead and walk? Like, I don't know what his routine would have been.
Did you see him walking into the course yesterday with the sleeveless?
He looks great. And
the
he
way
had,
he walks in is just he,
he's
game
got
over.
The Conor McGregor strut.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the guy from the wrestling, the McMahon or whatever?
Vince McMahon?
He's got the Vince McMahon walking.
He did
in.
Have that strut going on. Perkins in Paris.
Dominated.
I'm going with someone who's on the same level as Tiger. The guinea pig you mentioned. That guy got thrown into
the cage.
And said he did the Buffalo Bill a tight tuck and walked in that cage and started doing work.
Yeah. Unleashed. He found himself in a very advantageous position. Yeah.
Just guinea pigs and the roasted turkey all over the place.
All right, Ray Ferraro is back officially Monday through Friday, 5:05 every day. Mike Babcock a bit sour about questions pertaining to the power play today. We'll get into that. Marcellus Wiley on the NFL, teeing up a big Monday nighter tonight. Back into Tiger Woods, back into Kawhi and the Raptors in town. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.